Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Afternoon. It's Friday, the 27th of January, 2012. I'm Dean Beck. Thank you very much for joining me on this special 30-minute edition of On the Line. Shortly, Nicola Roxon, the first female Attorney General for Australia, will be joining us to announce that certificates of no impediment to marriage for same-sex couples will be issued as of the 1st of February 2012. I'll also ask her what she thought of the PM's security scare yesterday and whether she thought Mr. Tony Abbott's comments were what inflamed the situation with the Tent Embassy. I will also be joined by Alex Greenwich. He is the convener of Australian Marriage Equality. He'll be giving us his take on this announcement by Nicola Roxon, and he will bring us up to date as to what occurred on Wednesday night at the huge fundraiser in Sydney for Australian Marriage Equality. Then we'll be joined for a differing opinion. David Vicalis is a master's candidate at the School of Political and Social Inquiry at Monash University. He will be telling us what he thinks about same-sex marriage. And I think he's got an opinion that we're selling ourselves short. Nicola Roxon is our nation's first female Attorney General, and she joins us on the line. Ms. Roxon, thank you for joining us on Joy.
It's a pleasure.
We have to touch on the situation yesterday. How is the Prime Minister? Have you spoken to her?
We have been texting. She's in very good spirits. She's a very strong person, and I think she took it all in her stride, but it's obviously not a desirable situation, and I do think people should remember that protests are one thing, but violent protests, the ones that can get out of hand, do have consequences, and that's not good for anybody.
Is one of those consequences going to be an increased security detail for the Prime Minister, do you think?
Well, I doubt that. The Prime Minister does, as a matter of course, have federal police that travel with her. They're very experienced. They do a very good job. And, of course, they know that the Prime Minister wants to be able to be in and out and amongst the community at lots of different events, and that involves some risks, and all of us as politicians take those risks, but I think the community by and large respects them very well and would be disappointed that some people have made it uncomfortable for her. I mean, in my view, violence or intimidation is not acceptable if you are a mum at home, if you're someone riding on the train, or if you're the Prime Minister just trying to do her job, and I hope people will reflect on that.
Indeed. Do you think Tony Abbott's comments were the issue that inflamed the protest?
Well, I don't think so. I think when you look at his comments, they probably were not words that were well chosen. I think in context, they've probably been used by some people to try and incite more anger. But ultimately, people are responsible for the actions that they take. It wasn't appropriate for the Prime Minister to be put in that situation, and in fact, Mr. Abbott to be put in that situation as well. And I feel very much for the police, who now are being criticised for overreacting when they're professionals trained to react and obviously to look at a situation that could get very quickly worse.
I've got to say the Prime Minister's sportsmanship, if you call it that, and care for Mr. Abbott was exemplary.
Yeah, well, look, she's a decent person, and these are the sorts of things that, you know, when people see what happens, that comes through. And, of course, she would be worried for anybody that was in that situation. And I think she, you know, probably is just cursing that women get a pretty bad deal on the shoe and footwear that they are stuck in a riot. I'm not sure what the right footwear is for a riot.
Sneakers,
I suspect
probably.
That heels don't necessarily help.
Indeed. Now, on to other matters. You have announced today that certificates of no impediment to marriage for same-sex couples will be issued as of February 1 for people wanting to marry overseas.
Yes, that's right. Look, they'll be available now on the same basis for people who want to be part of a same-sex marriage in a country that recognises same-sex marriage and asks for these certificates. It's been a remaining barrier and a remaining piece of discrimination, if you like, that people have not been able to obtain those certificates. What this is just a country asking Australia, is there any reason that an Australian resident can't get married? For example, are they already married to someone else? Are they under 18? Is there some other sort of impediment? We'll now issue those on the same basis that we issue them for heterosexual couples, and that means if you're marrying someone in a country that recognises same-sex marriage, or perhaps you've gone there for that purpose, you'll be able to be part of that ceremony.
But it won't be recognised here in Australia.
Well, it won't be recognised in any automatic way here in Australia, where our current laws don't recognise same-sex marriage. Obviously, that is a debate still for the Parliament, which will be had this year. But it is the removal of another piece of discrimination, and it has been a barrier for many people, and also a frustration when many people who want to take part in these ceremonies are not asking for Australia's approval, although they might like it, but they can't take advantage of another country's more generous laws because they can't get a statement from Australia that they're not married, something that will either be a fact or not. And I think that's been a pretty difficult situation for many people to cope with.
Now, you've stated that this change demonstrates the Labor Party's strong commitment to removing discrimination in Commonwealth laws and policies, yet we still can't get married here.
Well, we've got to look at this in its context. We have changed more than 80 different pieces of Commonwealth legislation, as indeed we pledged to do from opposition, and got on with that work. It's made a practical difference to many, many people, and in fact was the key focus for many campaigners in the gay community for a long time, particularly, for example, on superannuation. Now, I accept that the debate has moved on. People may appreciate those changes but do want recognition for same-sex marriage. That will be debated in the Parliament, and the Labor Party is going to give people a conscience vote, and we want the Liberal Party to do the same so that the Parliament gets to truly express its will on whether this change has met its time in Australia or not.
The Prime Minister was criticised for not taking this as Labor Party policy and criticised for allowing that conscience vote, knowing that it would be overthrown. What is your take on that? Because you changed your mind on the issue as well.
Well, I will vote for the change if it comes before the Parliament, as we expect it to do over the course of the next 6 months. But it is an area where I think people of goodwill can have different views. And it's something that is, people do have different views in the community, a genuine way for us to be able to assess where those views have got to within the Parliament, with people representing the community, is to have that vote that allows everyone to vote freely. I don't think it's automatic that if Mr Abbott gave his members a free vote, that this would not pass. I don't think we know that. I think it may be a challenge still because there are many people who do disagree with this change, but there are very many more who now think its time has come. So I want there to be a proper debate. I'd like there to be every member being able to vote according to their constituency or their conscience, but at this stage Mr Abbott is not allowing that.
Was there one particular thing that changed your mind?
Well, I've always been a supporter of same-sex couples being able to be recognised and being able to have the sort of full rights and live free of discrimination in Australia. It is true that in the past my focus was very much more on prioritising the removal of discrimination, and I think there were a very large number of people in the gay community who expressed that view as well. If you had to choose your priorities, those were the priorities. I think in the last 4 or 5 years that's changed, and the changes to the Marriage Act have become not just a practical issue but a symbolic one for many people, and I accept that has caused hurt to couples who genuinely want to express their commitment to each other. And ultimately, if people want to live in a committed partnership, who am I to stop them?
But it's more than that. It also perpetuates the discrimination that ends up in youth suicide.
Well, of course, there are many serious issues involved here, but we also need to make sure that social change doesn't happen instantly. There are changes over time. We've already moved an incredibly long way in the last couple of years, and that's a good thing. But I know that if you feel strongly about this and have been campaigning for change, there is an impatience that, you know, creeps in, and I respect that. But ultimately, the only way we can get this change is for the laws to be changed through the Parliament. And
sure.
I'm, you know, in a position that I'm trying to ensure we get the best chance for that to happen.
Is today's announcement a major step forward towards same-sex marriage in this country?
Yeah, well, I think what it shows is that there is a much higher level of comfort amongst the broader community and within the government to be prepared to make these changes. I do think it has to be a respectful debate because we know that a lot of people have different views. But I must say, and it's a tribute to the gay community, that the campaign has been a very strong and effective one, and it's actually been an education campaign as much as a political campaign, and that means that the community is moving with us, and that's an important thing.
The Prime Minister has called a meeting for this weekend of all 102 MPs to workshop policy ideas. Will same-sex marriage be on the agenda this weekend?
Well, it's not an agenda as such. It's an invitation that the backbenchers in particular have an opportunity to raise issues that they want to make sure the Prime Minister and the Cabinet, the ministers, actually take issue with and pay attention to and should give more focus to. So, of course, there may be a number of backbenchers who will want to raise this. There may be others who want to raise a range of different things. The Prime Minister is not trying to set an agenda. She's providing an opportunity for all members to be able to be raising issues of concern to them.
Finally, Ms. Roxon, you instigated the e-health rollout that is up and running, a pretty major step forward in health for this nation.
Yes, well, I'm very proud of the work I did in the last 4 years as the Health Minister and a year before that as the Shadow. Tanya Plibersek now has carriage of those issues, and on the 1st of July this year, the full availability of an electronic health record for all Australians who want one will tick over and people will be able to sign up. But there is now a number of lead sites that are already implementing those changes. So if you live in a part of the country that's been one of the pilot sites, you may already have had the opportunity to use it. And it's going to be a great convenience more than anything else for so many patients and for health professionals to not have to constantly repeat allergies or medical histories, particularly for people with chronic disease who are often in and out of hospital and healthcare facilities regularly.
It has the potential to really transform the health outcomes for many, particularly around HIV issues.
Yes, I think that's right, and we've been working closely with consumers to make sure that we are making it a consumer-friendly option and to make sure that all of the appropriate protections are in place. But ultimately, to get the best healthcare, you want your health professional to know as much as possible, to quickly be able to identify concerns. And if you're travelling, you want that to be able to be available interstate and elsewhere. So I think this has an enormous impact across the whole community, and I hope people will take up the opportunity from the 1st of July as soon as it comes online available to everyone.
Federal Attorney General Nicola Roxon, thank you so much for joining us on Joy Today.
It's a pleasure.
Well, we just heard Nicola Roxon pay tribute to the gay community for the marriage equality campaign, a strong and effective one, she said, based on education as much as it has been political. Well, heading that has been Alex Greenwich. He is the convener of Australian Marriage Equality, and he joins us for his view on today's announcement. Alex, certificates of no impediment, good thing?
Absolutely. This is something that Australian Marriage Equality, Rainbow Labor, and a number of other groups have been campaigning long and hard for. It was a decision of a 2009 Senate inquiry into same-sex marriage that recommended it in the first place. And now, since then, so many more countries have same-sex marriage. Having the government issue these documents to Australian same-sex couples is more important than ever.
Isn't it a bit half-assed, though, if we don't acknowledge that marriage here in this country?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the main game, which is to get marriage equality in Australia, to end this discrimination against loving and committed same-sex couples.
But there's also that we at least acknowledge the ones in other countries.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is also an acknowledgement of the government that other countries are moving on with same-sex marriage and that are embracing it. This is a growing number of countries who we sort of see ourselves as being quite similar to, you know, places like Canada and Norway and Sweden, countries with good history of human rights.
But it's almost a joke that Spain and Portugal and Brazil are ahead of us and they're Catholic countries.
Oh, look, absolutely. But at least, you know, as difficult as it is for same-sex couples to have to go overseas to get married without friends and families, at least now a bureaucratic hurdle has been removed.
Is this a major step forward in getting towards marriage equality in Australia?
Well, it shows the commitment of the current government to making this happen. You know, people like the current Attorney General, Nicola Roxon, were people who were previously opposed to marriage equality. I think many people will remember 2004 and the John Howard Amendment to the Marriage Act, which was supported when Nicola Roxon was the then Shadow Attorney General. And for her now to be embracing the reform and for taking action to show her support for the reform just shows how far we've come and how much momentum is growing that we have, for the first time ever, an Attorney General who is not only supportive of marriage equality, but is taking actions in the right direction to making sure it happens.
Will Nicola Roxon be the woman that allows marriage in Australia?
I would love to think that we could have marriage equality in Australia and that it could be law written in by the Attorney General, Nicola Roxon. I think that she would see that as a very proud moment of her political career. You know, politicians are not remembered for the taxes they bring in. They're remembered for the social changes and the positive social policies that they introduce. You know, I think of John Howard and the guns buyback. I think of Kevin Rudd and the apology. Marriage equality is that social policy that this current government can embrace and be remembered in the history books for.
Earlier this week, Senator Sarah Hanson-Young announced a Senate inquiry regarding same-sex marriage. How many is this now, and what really is going to be the outcome of it?
This inquiry, I think, is really important as it gives the campaign for marriage equality a workable framework.
But haven't we done it before?
We did it in 2009. So much has changed since 2009. Support has continued to grow. More countries have also embraced marriage equality since then. So the real positive effects of it can be thoroughly looked into. Also, a lot of research has been done on marriage equality, which wasn't there in 2009. We also need the research and the funny studies done by the other side to be properly questioned. And a Senate inquiry, I think, is the right framework for that. This allows everybody to get not only their arguments out on the table, but their concerns out on the table, so we can deal with them in a constructive way and in a logical way. And I think we all know that logic is certainly on our side in this debate.
Do you think that any members of Parliament will change their mind following the Senate inquiry?
Yes, I do. And the reason I do is from the first week back in Parliament, we will be going around talking to MPs from the various different parties and asking them what are their current concerns and how would you like those best dealt with in an inquiry. This gives us a way to answer all their questions, get them out in a detailed way, with the hope that possibly a Senate inquiry could then recommend the bill. That puts us in a really important place. And it just is a proper process, so nobody can accuse us of rushing this through. We have a process in place, I hope, that allows all concerns to be aired, all concerns to be alleviated, and will provide us with a winnable way forward.
Will it smooth out any legal hurdles that might be brought up later?
Absolutely. Right. That's another key part of it. The inquiry would be handled by the Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee. So that allows us to go through all those legal issues, all those issues around, say, religious protections, etc., in that inquiry process.
Now, you had a bit of a party on Wednesday night. Would you like to tell us a bit about it, please?
Yeah, we held the Equality Dinner, which will hopefully be the first and only one we will need to have. It was a great night.
It was an expensive do to get into, but it was a sellout, I believe.
It was, and for me that was really overwhelming to see so many people come out in support of the campaign for equality. I was particularly heartened by the strong presence of coalition people at the dinner. There were a good 10 or 12 people associated with the coalition who came to show their support, and there were also wonderful speeches by Mia Friedman, by Professor Karen Phelps and her wife Jackie Stricker Phelps, and a particularly moving and effective speech by Rodney Croom, who was drawing a lot of parallels to the decriminalisation debate in Tasmania, which was won when the coalition changed their mind and when a coalition a premier allowed a conscience vote. And he said that he could see a number of parallels with how the campaign is going here and how many hearts and minds it's winning on a daily basis.
Now, the same-sex marriage thing seems to be the latest celebrity bandwagon. Who have you got on board now?
We know that a lot of prominent Australians are coming out in support. Hugh Jackman and Olivia Newton-John, as well as David Strathairn and Margaret Pomerantz, have declared their support. Also, Guy Pearce has recently come out. Guy Pearce has also come out in support.
Thank you.
And talking with Guy, he in support for marriage equality.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'll clarify that. He's come out in support for marriage equality. And talking to Guy, he made the point that so much has changed since Priscilla Queen of the Desert days in terms of acceptance of same-sex couples. The community out there is fully accepting, welcoming of loving and committed same-sex couples, and it's about time that the laws of this country join in with the community sentiment on this issue.
Alex Greenwich, convener of Australian Marriage Equality, keep up the good fight.
Thanks so much, Dean.
Broadcasting throughout Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming live around the world at joy.org.au. You are listening to a special edition of On the Line with Dean Beck. Now, joining me to give perhaps a different perspective on the current announcement of the Certificates of No Impediment to Marriage issued by Nicola Roxon earlier today is David Vakalis. He is a master's candidate at the School of Political and Social Inquiry at Monash University. David, thank you for joining us on the line.
Good afternoon, Dean.
What are your thoughts with regards to this? Are we selling ourselves short in hyping this up?
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, this is more so an act of ALP self-congratulations than it actually having anything, as opposed to it being actually anything meaningful for the current legal situation in terms of marriage. No doubt that it's, you know, a stepping stone, but right now it's practically meaning nothing, and it's just really for those who want to do the role-play game of having the ceremony overseas.
It's still not recognised here locally, though, so this is just a hot air as far as the Labor Party conference follow-up, in your opinion.
Yeah, basically. So, you know, because essentially what the certificate's purpose is to basically say to the host nation, yes, we in Australia, we have consistent laws on marriage as yours, and we have no reason not to acknowledge the marriage that you're performing overseas in the country that in a country like Australia. So, you know, obviously at the end of the day, that means absolutely nothing, given that, you know, gay marriage is not lawful here. The only thing that it actually does matter in is essentially when it comes to de facto relationships.
How so?
Well, basically, it can add to further evidence to prove to a government department, whether it's territory, state or federal, particularly when it comes to, I guess, for example, like the welfare department, Centrelink. So, for example, in Australian welfare system, one of the laws that were overturned as part of, you know, the ALP's attempt at removing discrimination in law was to basically make it compulsory for those who are in same-sex relationships living in a de facto arrangement to have to declare their sexuality and who their partner is to whichever the government body is, potentially leaving disadvantaged gays more into poverty.
You're suggesting that we're getting the negative laws first and perhaps not the positive ones for the community.
Yeah, ones that actually aren't really that practical right now and more so geared towards a very particular type of homosexual that I think that gay lobbies like the Australian Marriage Equality are advocating for, the committed same-sex couple, not necessarily the one who might be closeted or the one who might be polygamous or in a polyamorous relationship.
Would you deny marriage equality for same-sex couples? Is that what you're suggesting?
For me, I'm not a supporter of gay marriage at all. Personally, I think, you know, what's being demanded is essentially the entitlements that come with marriage. So in terms of, you know, access to property, superannuation, taxation, etc., that's not so much a problem. My problem is essentially engaging in the ritual of marriage, the actual ceremony.
David Vakulis, there's a conference coming up next week in recognition of Dennis Altman's book about gay liberation, 40 years since it was first published. Will this debate be part of that, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that actually one of the founding members, his name's Conrad from Against Equality, who's a big opponent against gay marriage over in North America, is actually one of the speakers at this conference. So at least in regards to his presence, the debate will be controversial and well alive.
David Vakulis, Masters Candidate at the School of Political and Social Inquiry at Monash University. Thank you for joining us on the line.
Thanks, Dean.
Now, that guest that David mentioned that will be at the conference, who is from the website Against Equality, I have an interview with him scheduled for next week. I'm looking forward to that one. Hey, thanks very much for joining me on this special edition of On the Line. I've gone way over time, so I better get out of here. Big thanks to Attorney General Nicola Roxon for joining us, Alex Greenwich from Australian Marriage Equality, and David Vakulis. I'm Dean Beck. Follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. Till next time, keep well, take care, bye for now.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.